us, though we enjoy one another, right? We appreciate the giftings that God has placed upon us. So let the singers sing, let the dancers dance, let the puppeteers do whatever puppeteers do, let the bell ringers ring out, let the drummers drum, let the viola players, I was going to say violate, but that sounds wrong, let them play their stringed instruments well. Let the narrators narrate, let the servers serve, let those who have been gifted share their gifts with the people of God as unto the Lord. Have good news of great joy this morning. God is the great doer of good things. He is the good doer of great things. And this isn't just a statement about God's nature, but it is a reality that we see day by day. We are especially given an insight into this as we read the events of Christ's birth. God's goodness and his greatness is woven into every part of the Christmas story, from the smallest to the grandest. So let's explore quickly, trust me. Let's explore together how God reveals himself in these ways through three key passages, one we've gone over a couple of times already this Advent. We start with this: God does great things for the humble. He does great things in the humble. He does great things with the humble. We begin with Mary's response to the angel's message in Luke's gospel. Having learned that she would bear the Savior of the world, she responds in awe at God's goodness. And in Luke chapter 1, Mary says, "For he who is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Mighty is he who has done great things. So Mary points out real quick two things that I think are appropriate for us to give our attention to. Out of all the ways that God could have brought salvation, God chose a humble young woman in an insignificant village. He didn't choose a royal palace. He didn't choose a person of high standard. He didn't go to those with a significant pedigree and qualifications. He went to a virgin in an insignificant town. He performed great things in the humblest of ways, in the smallest place with the most unlikely of individuals. God does great things, and in the doing of great things, his goodness is extended to the lowly. His goodness is extended to and through the humble. Mary acknowledges that God's great acts are rooted in his mercy. When God does great things and he moves through people, it is always an act of mercy. It's always an act of mercy. When he uses the skilled are never as powerful and as mighty as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every one of us, at our best and our worst, are humble servants. And he comes alongside and he points to us and he calls us out and he says, "Through you, I'm going to do something you would never imagine possible." His mercy. In doing this, he lifts the humble, and through the humble, he fulfills his good promise. In choosing Mary, God reveals that his greatness isn't about impressing the powerful. There's enough of trying to do that in this world. It's about working through the humble. That is, he is the great doer of good things. And that he is the great doer of good things, hear me, it makes me want to sing. It makes me want to sing. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. God is the great doer. He's the good doer of great things. He is also the God who does good things. He does them in unexpected ways. There's overlap here. In the circumstances of Jesus' birth in Luke 2, God has plans for the Messiah to arrive, but they didn't allow or involve fanfare. He didn't send out birth notices. He let Mary know. He let Joseph know. He let some shepherds know. He let some magi from the east know. He let Elizabeth know, but it was kind of under taps. God's plan for the Messiah's arrival didn't involve fanfare or luxury. Instead, Luke 2 tells us this. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her, Mary, to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough. What a strange way to save the world. Because there was no place for them in the inn. There was not a place of comfort as we usually think about comfort. From the human perspective, this seems too small. It seems too ordinary for the birth of the King of Kings, yet this is precisely how God works. It's precisely how God worked. God does great things in unexpected ways, and that's good news for you and me. Jesus' birth in a manger reminds us that God's good plans don't always look the way we expect them to look. And if you've been at this Christianity thing for a long time, you might say this: God's good plans almost never look the way we expect them to look. A Savior born in humility shows us that God's ways are higher than our ways, that His ways are greater than our ways. And as I was thinking about this, my mind wandered to a poem written by William Cowper, and I'll be honest with you, my mind wanders to this poem all the time. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea, and He rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Loved ones, God does great things in unexpected ways. His goodness doesn't meet us where we think we should be. His goodness meets us where we are. Jesus' humble birth speaks to us personally, no matter how insignificant we feel, no matter how broken our lives may feel in the moment. Loved one, God comes to us. He meets us where we are. In sending Jesus, He proves that He is not indifferent to us, nor will He be distant from us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. As Isaiah wrote, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Christmas helps us to see that God is doing something good, something that will change the course of history, something that will change the course of the world forever, even in the smallest, most humble, and sometimes entirely unexpected way. God is up to something good. So rest assured, love, that every day, hear me, every day, every moment, every situation, every open window, every slammed door, every success, every difficulty is pregnant with the possibility that the great doer of good is nearby doing good things greatly. God does great things. He is the good doer of them, and he is the great doer of good things. Lastly, God does great things for you and for me, but it's broader than that, don't you know? He does it for the world. Today we're together from around the world. But when we're not together, the Spirit is with us wherever we are. And so we are united in faith. We are united in love. We are united in worship with God's transcontinental family. With his the other side of the world, the other side of the hemisphere, all the way from where we are back all the way around to where we are. He's with us in the Eastern time zone. He's with us in the Central time zone. He's with us in the Mountain time zone. He's with us in the Pacific time zone. Believe it. California gets a bad rap, but it's just gorgeous. He's with our family members in Ethiopia, in South Korea, with the underground church in China. He is with us everywhere in the world. He is doing great things for the world, which is what the angel said when he appeared to the shepherds in Bethlehem. These angels have come to proclaim the birth of Christ to ordinary, overlooked people. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." For all the people. So look to somebody next to you and say, "This news is for you. This news is for you." Look somebody in the eyeball. "This news is for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This is one of the primary turning points in all of history. Here we see that God's great act of sending a Savior is for everybody, all people. God does good things that bring great joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The angels proclaim that it is good news. And that's what you do with news, right? You proclaim it. You proclaim it, you speak it out, you telegraph it, you shout it. The joy comes because salvation has arrived. It's not temporary. It's not dependent on circumstances. This joy is eternal, and loved ones, it is robust. I kind of wish I could play Oprah up here and give you a car. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. But on the authority of God's good word, let me say this. Margie, you get joy. Lorna, you get joy. Becky, you get joy. And you get joy. And you get joy. And you get joy because the Savior has come. It's for all the people. You get joy. We get joy. God's goodness is for all the people. It is universal. The Messiah isn't just for the wealthy or the religious elite. He is born for shepherds. He is born for kings. He is born for the weak. He is born for the strong. He is born for the retired. He is born for pastors. He is born for teachers. He is born for painters. He is born for all people in all circumstances. He is born for everyone who loves them that they might have joy, and he is born for everybody who has rejected them, that they might be brought into this joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise ye the Lord. Anyway, it makes you want to sing. When God sent his Son into the world, he did the greatest thing. He made a way for humanity to be reconciled to him. The birth of Jesus shows us that the heart of God is for all people to experience his goodness through freely offered salvation. So real quick, how do we respond? to the great doer of good things, to the good doer of great things. It's an important question that doesn't end in a major, because God is at work in people's lives today. He still does good things in unexpected ways. He still offers great joy to all who will come to him. What we should do? Should we do? We should respond like Mary with faith and praise. We should respond like the shepherds who responded with action, and they hurried to find Jesus, and then they shared the good news with all who would hear the good news. So even though I'm not an angel, I bring to you good tidings of great joy this day. The great doer of good things and the good doer of great things is at work in our lives today. He has given us the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. He freely offers us our most needed gift, forgiveness from our sins and a relationship with himself. We experience this as we repent and we are forgiven. We are given eternal life and hope. That is good news of great joy. So on this day, tomorrow, Tuesday, when you gather around with your family on Wednesday, rejoice in God's goodness. Celebrate God's greatness. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with whom he is pleased. Makes me want to sing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. He has done great things. Would you stand? He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Oh, come, let us adore him. No, come.